We welcome you all to the service this afternoon. I would take the opportunity at this stage to point out that after the church service, tea and coffee will be available in the lower church hall, and refreshments will be available when the family returns from the cemetery. We shall shortly, in a few minutes, stand and sing the first hymn on the sheet as the family enter the church. You will notice that the first verse is in English, and then we continue in Welsh the hymn Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient beyond telling is his worth.
we're gathered here this afternoon in loving memory of William Vernon Higham, known to all of us, I'm sure, as Pastor Higham or Vernon Higham. He was born December 25th, 1926, and went to be with his Lord and Savior September 14, 2016. And would you remain standing as we pray and ask our gracious God to be here today as we honor his servant and exalt his son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, our God, we come into this place today with hearts that are mixed with emotions of sadness and joy to honor a servant who's been among us, who for many years has lived a holy life and a faithful life, serving you and your Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask that you would come down in this place today. We'd have a sense of your manifest presence, that the Lord Jesus would be exalted, his gospel proclaimed, his servant honored. We ask this for thy sake and for thy glory. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing, I saw a new vision of Jesus, a view I'd not seen here before.
I saw a new vision of Jesus.
Pastor Hal Roberts is going to read a scripture.
My wife and I have known your late Pastor Emeritus for over 40 years. Vernon Hyam came to preach at Penzance Baptist Church in 1975, following a period of illness on his part. And from that time onwards, there have been many times when his dear wife, Morwen, and he came to us, and we do remember those happy times in the lounge in Castle Road, and also those most favored times when we heard the preaching of the Word of God from his servant, Vernon Hyam. Thank you for inviting me to take part in this service. It is a privilege to do so. And we extend our deepest sympathies to you, to Morwen, to Dewi, Alan, Seaned, and the whole family, now in your bereavement. Diolch am y fraint o gael cymryd rhan, a byddai bendith Dyw arnoch chi oll, eich cynnal a'ch cadw. The reading in the Word of God is taken from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, darllenir o'r bedwaredd bennod ar ddeg o Efengyl Ioan. Na thralloder eich calon. Yr ydych yn credu yn yw, credwch yn ofinau hefyd. Yn hyf yn had y mae llawer o drigfannau, a phe amgen, mi a ddywedaswn i chwi. Rwyf fi yn myned i baratoi lle i chwi. Ac os me fi a af ac a baratoaf lle i chwi, mi a ddeaf drachefn, ac a cymerwch chwi ato fy hun. Felly rwyf fi, a byddwch wythau hefyd. Ac i ba le rwy fi yn myned, chwi a wyddoch, a'r ffordd a wyddoch. Dywedodd Thomas wrtho, arglwydd, ni wyddom ni o ba le rwy ti yn myned, a pha fodd a gallwn ni wybod y ffordd. Yr Iesu a ddywedodd wrtho ef, mae fi yw'r ffordd a'r gwirionedd. Ar bywyd. Nid yw neb yn dyfod at y tad, ond tro fi. Y pethau hyn a ddywedais wrthych a mi yn aros gyda chwi. Eith yr ydyddanydd, yr ysbryd glân, yr hwn a enfyn y tad yn fy enw i, efe a ddysg i chwi'r holl bethau, ac a ddwg ar gof i chwi'r holl bethau a ddywedais i chwi. Yr wyf yn gadael i chwi dangnefedd. Pan hangnefedd yr ydwyf yn ei roddi i chwi, nid fel y mae y byd yn roddi, yr wyf fi yn roddi i chwi. Na thrallodau'r eich calon ac nac ofned. Byddai bendith Dyw ar y darlleniad o'i air sanctaidd. Codyn i ganu'r emyn nesaf, we stand to sing the next hymn in Welsh. Oth blaen o ddiw rwy'n dyfod, gan sefyll o hir bell. Pechader yw fy enw, fe feddaf enw gwell. Tregaredd wyn ei cheisio, a cheisio eto wnaf. Tregaredd i mi dyro, rwy'n marw, onis caf. Codwn i gane.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Now let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we come into the presence of the true, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And we do pray, O Lord, that it may please Thee to manifest Thy presence in our midst on this particular occasion, a special occasion, a notable occasion, for Thou hast taken Thy servant unto Thyself, and we thank Thee for him. Thy servant, servant of God, servant of Christ. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that we may come unto Thee at this time with all the thoughts that are upon our minds and upon our hearts. We thank Thee for the comfort and the consolation of the Scriptures. We bless Thee, O God, and thank Thee for Thy word, infallible word of truth, inspired of God and of the Holy Ghost. And we bless Thee, O God, that as we come into Thy presence, acknowledging that we are sinners by nature, and those of us who are believers are objects of Thy mercy. Truly, we are objects of mercy. We thank Thee, Thou hast not dealt with us according to our desert, but Thou hast come to us with overtures of grace in Thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the counsels of eternity between the Father and the Son in the presence of the Holy Spirit to convene and to arrange a way for the salvation of this sinful, wicked, fallen world of mankind. We thank Thee for the redemption that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, deliverance from the power, from the guilt, from utter condemnation. And so it is, O God, that it is with a sense of privilege and thanksgiving that we come into Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy word. Thou art a God who is not silent. Thou hast spoken. Thou hast spoken in creation and in providence and in redemption. Thou hast spoken through the prophets of Israel in ancient times, and Thou hast spoken supremely and finally for this present age in Thy blessed Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the holy apostles bearing witness to Him. We thank Thee for the witness of the Christian Church down the centuries, and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, words of strength, words of comfort, ring down the centuries as we are mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And why should we do so, O Lord? Well, he said, truly he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to God. I am the mediator between God in his holiness and man in his sin. And we bless Thee, O God, that he is the way. We thank Thee that he is the truth, that he is the full and final revelation of God to mankind for this present age. And we bless Thee that he is the life, resurrection, life and power, eternal life and salvation. He is our life. He is our salvation. And we bless Thee, O God, and thank Thee for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and all that he is to us in the covenant of grace. It is a most wonderful and a most marvelous thing, O God, to know thee, the one true God, and in thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the particular promise of thy word, which our Lord gave to his disciples on the evening before the crucifixion, when he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." O Lord, we are mindful that we live in a troubled world. We look at our own society, we look at the world in which we live, and we are troubled. And with good reason, as we look at the society, the contemporary society in which we live. But we thank thee, O God, that we may know peace, peace with God, peace of mind, peace in our hearts. And we thank thee, O God, that it is a true and a substantial peace, and it is the only peace that matters, to be at peace with one's Maker, and that for time and for eternity. And so it is, O Lord, that we're truly a blessed people. We thank thee in the midst of our grief, thank thee in the midst of our sadness, that we may look to thee and look to thee as the source of all true comfort. Roi mir hedd na uir y byd amdano. And so we thank thee for thy servant. Thank thee for thy servant Vernon Higham, for his godly life, for his faithful ministry, his love for the Saviour, love for his family, love for the Lord's people in the several churches to which he ministered over the years and to which he was a pastor in Christ. We thank thee for his gifts in preaching. We thank thee for his gifts in hymn writing. And we thank thee for his longing, a longing for the restoration of true religion, for the renewal of true spirituality in the churches of Christ, his longing that God would appear. Rhyw hiraeth yn ei galon, a biesa tio ddiw yn dyfod, unwaith eto, fel y gwnest yn y dyddiau fi. And not only, O God, to manifest thy presence, to bring glory to thy name and to thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are mindful that life is made up of relationships, and we lovingly remember Morwen, and we remember every member of the family, both young and old, at this time, as they feel the loss of Vernon. We commit each one to thy love, each one to thy care, and we look to the time when we shall ever be with the Lord. And if we've heard the voice of Jesus, may we look forward with faith and with hope and joyful expectancy to the glory to come, and that through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Cyn i Pastor Robert Dickey y bregethu y prynhawn yma, fe ganwn ni'r ymunesaf before Pastor Robert Dickey comes to preach, we shall sing the Welsh hymn, Mi glywaf dyn yr lais yn galw arna fi i ddod a golchi meau gyd yn afon Calfari. Arglwydd dyma fi ar dy alwa di, canafennaid yn y gwaed a gaed ar Calfari. Seven.
Thank you.
Not many days ago, someone very precious to all of us was called to glory. He leaves behind many friends, many brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, and a precious family. Surviving Vernon Higham is his precious and dear wife, Morwen. His children, Dewey, Shawnee, and Ellen. Two daughter-in-laws, Mari and Helen. And his grandchildren. And I can tell the grandchildren who are here today, every time Vernon was visiting with us in Michigan, how often he thought of you and prayed for you and called home to talk to his sons and his family, but he had these grandsons and daughters on his mind. His grandchildren here, Gwenin, Rian, Arun, Elidir, Kunan, Oshan, Cleon, Inir, Elhu. Vernon loved you, prayed for you, and lived a godly life for you. Brian and his wife, Enid, he loved them and their family. Mari, Helen, granddaughters, daughters-in-law, how he loved you. Dewey, Shawnee, and Alan, you know how your dad cherished you. And Maura and I cannot even begin to tell you what your life has meant to me and how just yesterday when you said to me in your home you would not bring Vernon back for anything. But then you followed that up and said, oh, how I miss him and how I love him. And he loved you, and there's nothing we can say today to take away the sorrows you have, but we can rejoice in the great gospel and hope that we have in Jesus Christ that your loved one is with the Lord. Vernon did not want a lot of things said about him at this particular moment, and I want to follow those wishes, but I did write down some things that would be appropriate to remember this remarkable life of this wonderful man of God and his amazing ministry that he had during these years. One of the great preachers of our time has passed from us. So in keeping with Vernon's wish, I'll keep these comments brief, but there's so much that could be said today. My brothers in Christ and fellow pastors back here, all of you could share equally as well as I. And I know that you have many things that you will share with the family, but I am humbled by the opportunity to share during these moments, and I thank you, gentlemen, for being here with your families and wives. I have known Vernon Higham in Christ for 34 years, intimately for 26. He spent a year and a half of his life ministering with us in Grand Blanc, Michigan at Berean Baptist Church. I told Dewey the other day that during that year and a half, the many sermons, the many times of Bible study and times of devotion, the Sundays, the Wednesdays, when we added it all up, it was nearly 1,000 sermons he preached in the United States. And during those days, Vernon Moran traveled with my wife and I and people in our church all over Canada, the United States, the Midwest, Michigan. And the memories that I have of Moran, your husband, those memories that I have shared with you are precious beyond words, and I will cherish them as long as I live and carry them with me to glory. When I think of Vernon's life and that year and a half he spent with us in Michigan and the many conversations we had, there are a number of things that stood out to me that I wanted to put down and share with you today. Of your father, your husband, your brother, your grandfather, your pastor and friend. There are five little sections of things I want to share, and I will go through them. First of all, I want to remind all of you, as you know, that Vernon Higham was a lover and a worshiper of our triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Vernon Higham had a passionate love for Jesus Christ and his gospel. He was a kind man, a gentle man, a godly man, a humble man. He was a man who walked with God, and truly he was a man who was Christ-like. When Robert Murray McShane from Scotland left, the paper said in his day that truly Jesus walked among us. And that could be said of your father, your husband, of Vernon Higham. Over the years, we had many discussions, particularly in the United States, as we fellowshipped in the car, at church, at homes, and various times. And during those discussions, there were five things that came out again and again in our discussions with Vernon. These were things that were dear to his heart. Now, there were many things in theology he loved to talk about, and the entire Word of God was precious, but these were five topics that he often mentioned, we talked about. First of all, he loved the gospel. He loved the doctrines of grace and justification by faith. When we take the gospel of sovereign grace and justifying grace, that was dear to his heart. Another topic that was very dear to Vernon Hyam was the proper worship of God. He was concerned that people would worship in throne room worship, biblical worship. That was a topic dear to him. A third topic was this burden for revival. He loved the history of revival, prayed for revival, had a great desire for revival. Another topic that often came up in our discussions was his great burden for personal holiness of life, that all those people who claim to be followers of Christ would walk in holiness, in purity of life. That was a great concern, that there would be a godly life to back up profession of faith. And finally, one of the things that often came up in our discussions was his burning desire that God would be glorified, particularly within the church. That was one area that I thought I'd share this afternoon. In another area, Vernon was an amazing husband and father. Those who knew Vernon Hyam knew of his deep and tender love for his wife, Morwen. What an example he's given all of us of what a devoted husband and father he should be, that we should be. This is something I think we should not miss today. Vernon had three children, Dewey, Shawnee, and Alan. Raised in a pastor's family with the pressures and stresses of a pastor's home, yet he had three children that know and love the Lord. He had two sons, and both of his sons are both remarkably gifted and powerful preachers of the gospel. Not every minister can say that he has a family and children that love the Lord and sons that followed him into the ministry. And Morwen, that's a tremendous testimony to both you and your husband, the life you lived in your home. When we think of Vernon's life, we have to think of the churches he pastored. He pastored three churches over his remarkable ministry. Two of these churches were Welsh-speaking churches, one near Swansea and one in West Wales. In 1962, however, Vernon was called to the Heath Church in Cardiff. There he saw great blessing and numerical growth during the ministry at the Heath. He spent 40 faithful years at that church as their beloved pastor. Many people came to Christ during that time, and they had a remarkable ministry together. And over the years, as Vernon visited with me in Michigan, often he would speak with such fondness of his love for those years at the Heath and the people of the Heath. He loved them. Following his retirement, Vernon Hyam was called to be pastor emeritus, working alongside his son, Pastor Dewey Hyam, at the Tabernacle Cardiff Church in Cardiff. He saw that ministry working with his son grow into a thriving and spiritual body of believers who are passionate about the gospel, hungry for revival, and committed to biblical worship. Those churches were touched by that godly man, the Welsh-speaking churches, the Heath, the Tabernacle Cardiff. They've been blessed to have had in their midst a man who walked with God, who was like Jesus. Fourth, we need to mention the close relationship that Vernon Hyam had with the doctor, Martin Lloyd-Jones. As a matter of fact, that's how I first met Pastor Hyam. I was preaching in Cardiff in 1983, and someone said to me as my time was up on a Sunday evening, "You ought to go over to the Heath Church. There's a man that preaches there that's much like Martin Lloyd-Jones," and he was a personal friend of Lloyd-Jones. So I came over and had the chance to meet him on that Sunday evening. He brought a phenomenal message on justification by faith. I fell in love with his preaching and came back 6 years later, met him again, and invited him to come to America, which he accepted that invitation. And for 21 years, without fail, he came over 4 to 6 weeks every year and ministered to our church. But he had a great relationship with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And we all know here the tremendous friendship they had. But yesterday, as I was with you, Morwen, the phone rang. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones, his daughter, Anne, rang you on the phone and she said, "Is Bob Dickey there?" And you said, "Yes, he is." And she said, "Would you tell him to remind all those who come to the service that my father, Martin Lloyd-Jones, always considered Vernon Higham his very best friend?" I was so moved by that phone call, by that word to be shared with all of you today. We all know that before the doctor died, he asked Vernon Higham to do the funerals for both he and his wife, which he did. On one occasion, Dr. Lloyd-Jones sent this note to Vernon. I want to read it to you this afternoon. It speaks for itself. He writes, "To my dear friend Vernon Higham, valiant for truth, contender and defender of the faith, man of integrity and courage, for whom I thank God and with whom is my privilege to be associated, with warmest greetings, David Martin Lloyd-Jones, November 1st, 1971. We can't say goodbye to this amazing man of God without remembering the special relationship he had with someone else who was also very dear to all of us. Fifth, Vernon Higham is remembered by all of us as a spiritual pastor, a prolific hymn writer, author, and spiritual mentor. No one here could ever doubt the amazing and blessed ministry this dear man of God has had over the years and the tremendous influence he's had on all of our lives. To me, Vernon Higham was more than just a friend. He's more than just a spiritual mentor. When I have special burdens or concerns or issues that I have to wrestle with, there's a wide number of people I might seek advice from, but it always seems to come down to about three, and two of those three are Dewey Higham and Vernon Higham. Vernon Higham was to me a spiritual father in the faith, a tremendous blessing to me, and the blessing he had on my life, my family, my church, my ministry, I could never begin to thank him or share with you how deeply it goes. On behalf of everyone here, Morin, I want to thank you. I want to thank Dewey and Seanet and Alan and all the Higham family for allowing your husband and father and grandfather to come over to America for a year and a half of his life and to minister to our hearts. I want to thank you on behalf of everyone here for allowing your husband to pastor and preach all over this British Isles, to be a blessing to so many people. He was, in fact, a choice servant of God. And Morwen and Dewey, Alan, Seanet, God bless you for that sacrifice, allowing him to come. I give praise, finally, to our mighty God for his wise and sovereign grace that chooses a man, calls a man, equips a man, and sends that man out to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Vernon Higham preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. You all can testify that when that man got in the pulpit, the presence of God came down and he glorified the King of Kings. John 1:6 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This could be said of Vernon Higham. Vernon was a man sent from God, and we will miss him. We'll miss his friendship, his powerful preaching, which always brought a sense of God's presence. We'll miss his spiritual wisdom, his wit and humor. Will miss the powerful impact of his leadership, for he was, in fact, a spiritual giant who walked among us. Today, this afternoon, we say goodbye to Vernon Morwen for just a little while. For just a little while. Vernon often said to me on various occasions, "There are times I ask myself," he said, "I wonder what Dr. Lloyd-Jones would say about this. I wonder what he would think about that. I wonder what he would do in this circumstance." There's going to be many a time in my life in the days to come, and in yours, Dewey, and all of us here, where we'll be saying, "I wonder what Vernon would say about that. I wonder what he would think about this." He's left for us a tremendous legacy and a tremendous heritage for us to follow. He's passed the torch to his sons, to all of us, to carry the banner and the light of the gospel of Christ to the nations of the earth, beginning here in your Jerusalem of Wales. I want to take a few minutes as we close to share the precious gospel that dear man of God loved. I was trying to think what would be appropriate to share with you here, and the verse that the Lord laid on my heart, I trust, will be a verse that will warm your soul and encourage all of us as we think about the glories of Calvary love. The psalmist in Psalm 116 had gone through a period of great struggles and trials, and he was delivered. And in this psalm, Psalm 116, he celebrates and praises God for great victories and blessings. But in the midst of the psalm, he gives us a verse that is just pregnant with meaning and blessing. In verse 15, the psalmist says, he says these words. More on these words come to us as a comfort today. He says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. When God created, he said, "It is good." But he did not say it was precious. Death to us brings sorrow. It brings an end to relationships and memories. You remembered what you said, Morwen, "I will miss him." How can death be precious? For many people who don't know the Lord, death is a horrible thing. It's an uncertainty. Many people fear what's beyond the grave. They don't know. They don't know if there's a heaven and hell, and they fear. But for the saints, death is precious. First of all, what is a saint? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There are some people in some segments of Christendom who they believe that the church has an ability to take a certain person here or there in history, set them apart, canonize them, and make them a saint, and declare them to be something better than all the rest. But when Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians, he wrote, he said, to all the saints in Christ Jesus with the bishops and deacons, to all the saints in Christ Jesus with the pastors and the deacons, according to the word of God, not according to some view of man, according to God's word, a saint is somebody who has faith in Jesus Christ, somebody who is a Christian, somebody who's been washed in the blood of Christ and dressed in his righteousness. And Vernon Higham was a Christian. He was a saint. And our God tells us here in this moment of our sorrow and loss that precious in his sight is the death of his saints. In the midst of our tears, as we mingle them on our pillow at night, as we have memories and we think, these days, Dewey and I and Alan, we have reminisced and gone over blessed and precious times of fellowship together. And during those times, our eyes filled with tears as we remembered Vernon. But precious to God the Father is, and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit was the death of Vernon Higham, as he called him to glory, for he was a saint. But if Vernon were here in this pulpit this afternoon, he'd nudge me, and he'd say, "Bob, make sure you tell them how they become saints, how it is that they become a saint of God." In the third chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus had an interview with a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He came to Christ at night. We're not sure why he came at night. Maybe he was fearful of what the other Pharisees might say, but in his heart, he was troubled by the things he had seen in Christ, perhaps the miracles he witnessed, what he was hearing. And in his heart, he was thinking, "Is this man Messiah? Is this man the Son of God?" And he came to Jesus at night, and he doesn't ask a question. He makes a statement. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you are doing unless God is with him." Well, there's no question there. But Jesus, able to read his mind and his heart, knew what was puzzling him. He knew what was deeply going on in his soul. And Jesus cut right to the chase. He said to Nicodemus, he said it three times, "You must be born again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. You'll not see the kingdom of God. You must be born again, Nicodemus." And this Pharisee, this religious leader, said, what does that mean? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time, a physical birth? And Jesus said, are you a master in Israel and don't know these things? He was talking about spiritual birth. To become a Christian, you need to have a spiritual rebirth where the Spirit of God comes and opens the eyes of your soul that you see glory in the face of Jesus. Where the Spirit of God gives you life. And he plants his life in your soul and you flame alive and you repent of sin. He gives you the gift of faith and repentance and you believe on Jesus and you see him as you've never seen him before. That comes as a result of the new birth. How many people sit in our churches? They have an intellectual knowledge of the Bible. They have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. They know all the doctrines, but their heart is cold as ice, dead as a stone, because they've not been born again. What was pulsating through the heart of Vernon Higham was the life of God in the soul of man. He knew the life of God in his heart. He was born again. The Lord Jesus gives Nicodemus some instruction about the new birth. He says, not something you do yourself. It's a miracle of grace. And in John 3:8, he says, the wind blows where it listeth, where it wishes, where it wills. You can hear the sound of the wind. You can feel its breezes in your hair. You can see the trees blowing in the breeze, but you can't control the wind. You can't grab it and tell it to stop or go this way or that way. And using that analogy, Jesus said this, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Just as the wind is beyond our control, the new birth is beyond our control. It's in the hands of God. Knowing that the new birth is a sovereign act of a sovereign God, to the grandsons, the families here, all of you, do you understand? Salvation is not something you can do for yourself. You can't save yourself. It's a miracle of sovereign grace, and if you have any concern about your soul, there is a heaven to win and a hell to lose. And I would urge you, my dear friends, to follow the path, the life of Vernon Higham. And when I began as a pastor to understand the significance of the sovereignty of God in salvation, then I began to realize we preach, we witness, we share the word of God, we scatter the seed and we bathe it in prayer, but then we plead, Almighty God, send your Spirit to convict men. If I was not a Christian, I would bow my heart before a sovereign God. A young man once in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when I was preaching, kind of scoffed. He said, well, when I feel like it, I'll get saved. And I said to that young rebel, I said, do you understand something? Salvation is not on your timetable. It's not in your hands. God doesn't need you, but you need him. You need to get on your face and beg God for mercy to number you amongst his elect, or you will perish in the lake of fire forever. How does a person become a saint? By the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, and he gives us life, and he opens up our heart, and we see Christ. Jesus, moving on through John 3, he tells the story of Moses in the wilderness. He said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Of course, the story is that the people of Israel had been rebelling against the Lord, and these fiery serpents, whatever they were coming in and biting them, and the people were dying. And they came to Moses and said, Moses, can you do something? And he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, Moses, take a piece of brass, pound it into the shape of a serpent, nail it onto a pole, lift it high, and when people look at that bronze serpent, they'll live. Just look and live. And it's a picture of Christ. He's the bronze serpent. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Jesus said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When a person is born again, God gives them faith and repentance, and they will look. They will look. They'll look at Christ, and they'll see what they never saw before. When Spurgeon got saved, he said, he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we were one forever. The new birth allows and enables a man, a person, to look to Christ. And with that look comes saving faith. Again, Jesus wraps up that whole section in John 3 by saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you become a saint? By the grace of God. If your heart is cold or dead, you don't worship, you have no hunger for the word, oh friend, this is not something you can do on your own. You're in spiritual danger. And Vernon Higham, we would not bring him back more, and as you said, but if he were here today, after seeing the glories of God in heaven, walking with saints and angels, being with apostles and Martin Lloyd, he would say to all of you, he'd plead with all of you, oh, flee from the wrath to come. Put your faith in Christ. Seek God for mercy. Well, the third and final thing, I would just simply say this. We talk about what a saint is. It's someone who's born again, a Christian. How do you become a saint? By the new birth, the gift of faith and repentance. Why is death precious then? You know, there's so many things I could share. Death is precious because for Vernon Higham, it's an end of sorrow and sadness and suffering and pain, crying and tears. For Vernon Higham, death is the end of his labors against the world, the flesh, and devil. He's entered his eternal rest. For Vernon Higham, death has brought him into a place where there's been a home prepared for him in glory. In my Father's house are many mansions. For Vernon Higham, he's entered into the fellowship of the church triumphant. He walks among angels today, amongst apostles and saints and sages, with Christians of all the ages. And there's no doubt in my mind he's already greeted Martin Lloyd-Jones and many of his parishioners over the years that he buried. Death brings Vernon Higham into the throne room of heaven to worship around the throne in the presence of Almighty God. And death for Vernon Higham brings him into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why death is precious. For those who know Christ, for those who know him, who have been born again, who have put their faith in Christ, death is precious for them. John Newton said this, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight that stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath could I forget that look." Could you ever forget a gaze on the cross of the Lord Jesus? He says, "Oh, can it be? Upon a tree, the Savior died for me. My heart is filled, my soul is thrilled to think he died for me." Death is precious for all of God's saints. And today, as we say goodbye to a dear man of God, a dear husband and father, grandfather and friend, death was precious for him. Death was precious for him. He had an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Vernon, if he were going to come up here and finish this message, if I said, "Vernon, would you come up and just tell us how you came to faith in Christ? Just share with your family, with your friends, all these who are here. How was it that you came to faith in Christ?" He'd say, "Bob, I've told you. You've heard me preach it, but I've written it down in poetic verse. I've written it down in poetic verse so all will know." He would say, "Great is the gospel of our glorious God, where mercy met the anger of God's rod. A penalty was paid and pardon bought, and sinners lost at last to him were brought." He'd say, "Bob, I came to faith in Christ through that great gospel of the Lord Jesus. That precious Lamb of God who lived my life and died my death, who was crucified, buried, and resurrected." And then he would say this, "Oh, let the praises of my heart be thine, for Christ has died that I may call him mine, that I may sing with those who dwell above, adoring, praising Jesus, King of love." As I stand in this pulpit this afternoon here in Cardiff, Wales, Vernon Higham is in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus. And what is he doing? What he wrote, what was dear to his heart, he's adoring, praising Jesus, King of love. Maureen, God bless you. Dowie and Alan, God bless you. Sean and all of you. May we all follow that dear man to glory. May we commit our lives to be faithful, devoted believers, followers and lovers of Christ. May God give us grace and glory to be a people that would honor that dear man of God in the gospel and the Savior he adored. Would you join me in prayer, please? Our Father, our God, we thank you for the memory of a faithful servant of God who walked in our midst. Father, this was your hour, your appointed time to call him to glory. We are thankful for the friendship, the ministry, and the love of that man. But we are thankful, Father, because you've used him to point us to your Son. We're thankful, Lord, here today for the gospel, for the Lord Jesus, his precious blood, his imputed righteousness. We're thankful, Father, for your electing love. We're thankful, Father, for your mercy. We're thankful for the gift of faith and repentance, great and mighty God. We're thankful for the written word and the living word, the Lord Jesus. May we each follow our dear friend, Lord, to glory. We give you praise. We honor you, asking these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand, if we could, please, and sing, "Great is the gospel of our glorious God." Please remain standing for the final benediction, and then as the family leaves, there will be a hymn, "How Good is the God We Adore." Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.